How is Auburn's international commits already delivered? Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast. I hope everyone is getting ready for a happy 4th of July and to celebrate this great country's independence and 250th birthday. But we've got Auburn basketball to talk about. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman. And today on the Barn Hoops podcast, we're talking about a couple of quotes and comments from Coach Stephen Pearl, as well as what's going on in the pro ranks for the former Auburn Tigers and how things are going for those professionals. Be sure you're subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcast. Hit the like button on YouTube as well, and you won't miss any updates from the Barn Podcast Network, whatever it is, Barn Hoops or Auburn football and everything else that's going on. This summer, it's talking season. We're approaching SEC Media Days, which will obviously be a big moment for Alex Golish in his first year as Auburn football coach, and we'll have all of that covered right here on the Barn Podcast Network. And today it was comments made by Coach Stephen Pearl as Auburn hosted its ambush event at Lake Martin this past week. And really a lot of the conversation was about Narcisse Ngoi and Montes Roustavicius. And, you know, I'll tell you what, they released that video, Auburn men's basketball did, of him trying to pronounce, of him not trying to, but pronouncing his last name. And I don't know how much it helped, quite frankly. it really was something. I'm going with Roustavicius until I can really nail it down. But Montes is probably the way to really go. But it was good to see those signings come through, obviously. We've discussed those at length, and great for them to be official now. And it's something that, with them on campus now, it's really key for these guys to get ingrained in first of all, the culture, but as well as the system that Stephen Pearl and Mike Burgomaster and Ira Bowman and Corey Williams and Ian Borders and Matt Gatens have all implemented this past season and will continue to do so this year. But the specific comment I wanted to talk about, and Justin Hokanson of On3 Sports, he wrote a story about it, and the quote was, "The good news is Montes and Narcisse are both the size they said they were. Montes was 6'7", and Narcisse is 7 feet, if not 7'1". That was a positive." And you might think, why is this a notable quote? Of course, it's a good thing that the guys that came in or the heights that they were listed, that they were anticipated. Well, a year ago at about this time, and listen, you can maybe take this as a shot or not, but simply put, it's a fact. Filip Jovic was supposed to come in at 6'8 or 6'9 and probably wasn't even 6'7. He's probably 6'6. And that was at a position of need for Auburn at the center position. And yeah, it caused for some trouble. And fortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case for these two guys. And obviously, with the international prospects, it's more difficult to really scout them and get physical eyes on them. You can watch film. You can talk to the scouts that are overseas. And I think this goes back to the hiring of Brian Kloman at general manager and his connections with the international ranks and how he develops those guys and recruits them and prospects them. And my assumption here is that he probably just had more solid info. He knew that these guys were, one, Ngoi just dominant on the defensive side of the basketball, that he's a legit 7-footer. They didn't know that he was going to get drafted in the NBA draft. And that was what Coach Pearl also alluded to, was, hey, look, here's the quote. "It was a surprise to all of us. Narcisse was asleep when he got drafted. He had no idea until the next morning because his agent was not aware." That's wild. And really, again, further proof to kind of how I would call it crazy. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a crazy situation that the Clippers are kind of, they're starting to trend. I can't imagine this will be the last time that it happens. And maybe it'll be different with the way the new eligibility rules are going to kind of break in next year. But we'll see. And again, having these guys come in and so far are what you expected them to be, that's a step in the right direction. And the staff is absolutely going to, one, appreciate that, but two, it's going to help, I think, them with their confidence in developing this team and this roster. It's not going to be, all right, how do we figure this out in the paint and protecting the rim without a true center? And Keyshawn Murphy was the closest thing to that last year, but he really wasn't. I mean, I think it would have been ideal if he could have played a little bit of the four and used his athleticism in that way. But now you've got the legit seven-footers in Narcisse Ngoi and Buki Oboye. So really, I think it's all about developing Oboye's defensive game and Ngoi's offensive game. And then the rest of the roster is filled out in a spot where you feel good. Like the backcourt with Taha Pettiford and Kevin Overton looks awesome. It's just a matter of, all right, does Thomas Dowd and Adam Olson, do they translate from the mid-major ranks? Does Montez Rupsevicius translate from the international ranks? Is Owen Freeman finally over that injury he suffered last year? So all that's got to come together. Is George Kimball is going to be a solid backup to Tahad and Kevin Overton, and hopefully Simon Walker and Caleb Williams can take that next step. Walker, hopefully no injury concerns after last preseason. And that would be absolutely huge for this team, for this program, to have all of that ready to go. And again, it'll be an interesting case. And we've talked about how much the hype really impacts this team and this staff and how it goes about things and how it develops game plans and everything in between and how it recruits and so on, so on. Because specifically on the defensive end, it's well documented how much the defense fell off last year from the previous years. And whether you want to chalk that up to how the roster was constructed or that Stephen Pearl wasn't in his, at that point, traditional defensive coordinator role as the associate head coach, he had to take obviously a big leap into being the head coach and probably couldn't do as much with what he wanted to on the defensive side. He obviously still led the charge there, but I'm sure there was some delegating there to the rest of the staff to really develop that and grow the roster into what they wanted to defensively. And they didn't quite get there. The offense was the lead, of course. So that was a positive. So how does this defense get back to where Coach Pearl and the rest of the staff expects it to be? And I do think it starts with the height and having depth down low. And you have that between Ngoi, Oboye, and Freeman, not to mention Thomas Dowd and Adam Olson and Montez, who they're not going to be, you know, hopefully they're not the ones that are matched up with like Alex Condon or Ruben Chinyelu of Florida, but they at least are big enough where on the wing, and if they are on the blow block, they have a chance. And that's going to be the key this year, and really defensive effort and everything that goes into it. And I think that, I don't know, I just, I like the way this is constructed. I like what I'm hearing out of these events that Coach Pearl is attending. Like, this is a comparison, and I don't know, like, so let's just, Steven also compared Montez to Chad Baker Mazzara. And listen, say what you want about Chad Baker Mazzara. Yes, it was sometimes a headache whenever he would just kind of get in his own head and couldn't get out of a funk, whether that's just a bad stretch of play or he's getting a technical or flagrant foul. But he was an elite basketball player for Auburn, and really Auburn couldn't have made that Final Four, win the SEC championship the year prior without him. And that was Stephen Pearl's comparison. Montez comes with a ton of experience at the international level. He's going to have a lot of similarities to Chad Baker as far as how he plays, his ability to shoot the ball and play out of ball screens. And I think that simply goes back to the way he moves without the basketball, and he's a three-point shooter or he's slashing to the basket. Not a lot of post-up game or anything like that. that could always develop. But he is driving to the basket or shooting a three. And of course that's huge in the game now. But I mean, for him to compare it to Chad Baker Mazzara again is high praise. And it's hard for me to really feel that hype right now. I mean, listen, last year he only averaged 7.8 points per game, 2.5 rebounds, and 1.8 assists over in Lithuania. Now again, that's for a team that went 31-1 overall. So let's not sit here and act like he did that on a poor team. He did it on a team that nearly went undefeated across 32 games. And when you go back in time, you can see the stats fluctuate a little bit. Like in 2024, he played for a different club and he averaged 13.8 points, 3.1 rebounds, and 1.9 assists per game. So that's kind of that. One eliminates my concern and leads me to think, okay, maybe Coach Pearl isn't just blowing smoke here. Maybe there is something to that comparison to a player that was an all SEC player and was really good for Auburn for a couple of years. And again, that's not to say, okay, Motz is going to come out and be that kind of guy right off the bat. I'm sure there's going to be somewhat of an adjustment period. Now, that can't be too long of an adjustment period. You're gonna need to be ready for SEC play, but that's at least a promising quote scenario and praise for the international star. So I'm excited for it. I think that I just think that this roster is where this coaching staff wants it to be. I don't think there's a ton of question marks as far as the construction goes. Yes, there are the question marks of, all right, how good are these guys actually going to be? Like, is Thomas Tao going to average a double-double like he did in the Sun Belt in the SEC? I don't know. It's hard to say. Say with Narcisse Ngoi, who won so many awards over in the French Elite 2 League, you can't expect that to happen again in the SEC, but it could. You never know. And that's why the Los Angeles Clippers decided to take a flyer on him and hope that he develops into something special and can really dominate in the SEC. So all of that to say is that this team is going to work out together, really get to know each other, and now they're all together for the rest of the summer. And then when we get into preseason camp in late August, early September, we'll start to really hear some, I guess, solid and more official updates from this coaching staff. I'm sure we'll get to start to know those players at that point as well. And listen, that's not the only news coming out this week with Auburn Tigers, but it's the former Auburn Tigers and Walker Kessler signing a huge deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. 4 years, $130 million for the big man. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year for the Tigers back in 2022, playing alongside Jabari Smith. And we'll talk about him and some of the other pros in just a minute, but I think that this continues to prove the development that this program has established. And look, yes, you talk about all you want. This is Bruce Pearl. That's yada, yada, yada. But this coaching staff, Stephen Pearl, Ira Bowman, Ian Borders, Damon Davis in the strength and conditioning program, all these guys were a part of that staff in 2022 to develop Walker Kessler. When he came over from North Carolina, there's a lot of questions about whether he was the five-star prospect that he was in high school. Is he ready for that showtime? And he was in the SEC. And I think that's a lot of credit to the coaching staff for getting him ready. And that leads to him playing in just five games last year. Yes, he only played in five games. He had a labrum surgery that cost him his 2025-26 season. Those five games, though, he was really dang good. He averaged a double-double, 14.4 points, 10.8 rebounds, 3 assists, almost 2 blocks per game, a steal and a half per game, and I think this is the key, 75% from 3. Let me get the totals, because I think he was 6 of 8 from 3. And again, that's an awesome... That's an awesome stat line for him, who you look at it and you're like, all right, this is a guy that obviously has the defensive ability. He can rock the rim. He's flying around the rim, but can he stretch the floor a little bit? And I would say that very small sample size that he gave NBA fans last year, okay, something's going there. Yeah, he was 6 of 8 for 3 for 75%. That's great. So he was off to just a hot start in those 5 games. Now that's the key. It was a 5 game sample size. So hopefully he can join the Lakers and help them, you know, mind the loss of LeBron James. And depending on who you ask, he's the first or second greatest of all time. And that's just, yeah, that's a huge deal for him to get paid that much to really be the premier signing for one of the premier franchises in the NBA after they lose one of the greatest players of all time. And I think that's really cool. And again, kind of just sets another bar for this Auburn program and how it develops talent. Yes, he was here for only 1 year, but you compare what he did at North Carolina to what he did at Auburn, and that shows. And that's not to mention that Jabari Smith is on a 5-year, $122 million deal with the Houston Rockets. Isaac Okoro is on a 3-year, $33 million deal with the Chicago Bulls. And then you've got the guys that just turned pro last year. Jahni Broome, 4 years, $8.6 million. Dylan Cardwell, 4 years, $8.2 million. And then Chaney Johnson. There seems to be a little bit of confidence and optimism with Chaney's game. He's on a two-way deal for 1 year. It's less than $1 million, but hey, look, that you got to get there one way or another. And he was playing D2 basketball at University of Alabama Huntsville in 2023. So just 3 years ago, he was playing D2 ball, and now he's playing in the NBA with the Brooklyn Nets. So I really think that's something that this program has to hang its hat on. That's not to mention the guys that are international. I saw a report that Austin Wiley, yeah, from the 2019 Final Four team, he's a senior in 2020. He signed a deal with Bayern Munich to be their center. So Jared Harper, Bryce Brown, Wendell Green, a lot of those guys are playing international ball. And I think, quite frankly, with the point guards, if they were just a little bit taller, it might be a different story. And there's also some G League stars as well. So I think we're starting to get to a point where Auburn is going to have the ability to kind of formulate a starting five of NBA talent. That wasn't the case 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you had Charles Barkley and Marquise Daniels. And that was it. And obviously, those guys weren't active 10 years ago. But now you've got kind of a core of active professional players that you can hang your hat on, say, this coaching staff can say, we developed those guys, look at what they're doing, come to Auburn, and you can join the ranks with them and maybe be making $130 million across 4 years like Walker Kessler. So that's just really, really cool and glad to see him. I mean, again, I just can't get over the fact that he played in 5 games last year and he gets this kind of contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, you go back 2 years ago to the 24-25 season, and he played 58 games. So, you know, he played in a majority of them, averaged 30 minutes per game, and he also averaged a double-double, 11.1 points and 12.2 rebounds per game and 2.4 blocks per game. Now, he didn't shoot any threes that year. So I think that's where my mind goes to, is that they saw enough of that in those 5 games that they think that coming off the injury, they can get him back in a rhythm to doing what he was doing, averaging a double-double, but also stretching the floor, shooting the ball, because that's how you can make a center really worth $130 million in today's NBA. So, you know, it's been a week of some Auburn basketball news, and it'll continue to flow in, maybe slowly but surely, but lots of talk between Coach Pearl and other other events going on so far this summer. We'll break down any of those quotes and things like that. So make sure you're subscribed again. We'll continue with the weekly updates. And if something happens and it's a big update, we'll break in earlier in the week and do that. So make sure you are subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network. Make sure you hit the like button. You'll get all the updates and you won't miss a show or any kind of major event that goes on. The recruiting rolls on for Auburn football. We move closer to kickoff. We move closer to SEC Media Days. Auburn baseball continuing with the transfer portal. And, of course, Auburn basketball has solidified its roster. And the schedule is starting to be finalized as well. So be sure you're tuned in right here to the Barn Podcast Network. This weekend, stay safe. Enjoy the 4th of July. And enjoy celebrating this great country and its 250th birthday. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.